Court is ready to hear argument from petitioner in FR Cattle Company versus State.
May it please the court, John Turney will present argument from petitioner. He's reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court, my name is John Turney. I'm here today on behalf of petitioner FR Cattle Company. This case presents the issue of whether or not the Texas Clean Air Act applies to petitioner's calf raising operation in a rural portion of UAP County. The issue is raised because the statute excludes from regulation emissions which result from what are called natural processes. Two previous Court of Appeals decisions have held that the application of this exclusion essentially depends on whether or not such operations are normal or usual in the area involved. The trial court in our case heard evidence, found that petitioner's operations satisfied this test, and dismissed the Attorney General's case. The Court of Appeals, however, reversed and rendered judgment as a matter of law that petitioner's operation was subject to the Texas Clean Air Act without regard to its location. It's our position that in doing so, the Court of Appeals first improperly invaded the fact-finding responsibility of the trial court. We also believe that it changed the established judicial interpretation of this natural processes exclusion, which was relied on by the trial court, and if that change in law was improper and should be corrected by this court.
And that's the normal or usual for the area?
Essentially the second.
And that really is a question of law, isn't it? Whether natural processes includes the factor of it being normal and natural for the area?
Your Honor, I would respectfully disagree. And it is our position that whether something is normal or usual in the area involved is inherently a factual determination.
Well, whether it is in fact normal or usual is a fact, but whether natural processes includes consideration of normal or usual for the area is a question of law, isn't it?
It is a portion of the natural processes concept as articulated in both the EuroPAC and Southwest Livestock.
Right.
Cases.
In fact, the whole thrust of your second point of error is that there's been an error of law here, isn't there? That the jurisprudence of the state has been taken in the wrong and conflicting direction from the law as set out by two previous courts of appeals.
Yes, Your Honor, I believe I would agree with that characterization of that second point of error. We believe it really can be characterized both ways as a substitution of the fact-finding and also as a change in the established test which have been rendered by both the EuroPAC and Southwest Livestock opinions.
And if it is a question of law as to whether the statutory definition of natural processes should incorporate a normal or usual for the area consideration in its definition, and then the Court of Appeals really wasn't doing any substituting in fact-finding, was it? And it's, if you look strictly at its writing of how it defined that term.
Your Honor, I would characterize it this way. If one seeks to completely eliminate the EuroPAC and Southwest Livestock characterization of the natural processes test and purport to write on a clean slate, then at that point, yes, I would agree it's questionable.
Mr. Attorney, do you concede that the smell of cattle could be an air contaminant? Except for if it's customary within the, whatever it is, usual for the community. I mean, if it's not, if there were no dairy farms within this county, let's say, and someone put in a dairy farm and the next door neighbor complained of the smell of the cattle, do you concede that that would be an air contaminant under that definition, accepting for the moment that it was not usual for that community?
Your Honor, I believe so. I think you've answered the question when you have made as part of it the proposition that it is not susceptible to being determined by an appropriate fact finder that it is normal and usual in the vicinity. Now, I would not want to be understood necessarily as saying that it is essential that there be, as we have in this case, other livestock operations in the immediate area, for example, adjacent to our very operation. I think as you reduce the number of such operations in that immediate vicinity, you tend to crystallize and perhaps raise more questions about the factual determination. But I'm not purporting to dispose of all those today. We simply think our position is about as strong as one could have under the established definition of this concept.
For dairies and dairy farms, aren't they required to maintain certain sanitation standards, including the elimination of waste?
Yes, Your Honor, by a number of agencies. In fact, in this regard, probably the closest analog are the substantial regulatory programs that are implemented by the Texas Water Commission with respect to waste management of this type. That is not to say that the health department, for example, in the interest of vector control, if that were the case, or other things perhaps relating to disease, certainly the health department would have jurisdiction to intervene in those cases. And I think that that suggests a very important part of this analysis, and that is that we're not talking about situations, we're not talking about emissions, which have significance with respect to public health or such characteristics as that, which were the primary reason for the Texas Clean Air Act and its enactment to begin with. In fact, its initial enactment established the Air Board as a branch or as a department, bureau of the Department of Health. Health questions are not at issue here. It's simply the inconvenience aspect, nuisance over.
But what I was getting at is because of the sanitation standards and the health requirements they're imposed on dairy operations, you don't have the same concentration of livestock. You do have the disposal of waste. You don't have the same emissions of odor and air contaminants that apparently you would under in this particular operation, which is basically, as I read it, a holding pen for or a calf feedlot, if you will, for production of veal. These calves are maintained, 60 to 120 days, something like that, 2 to 4 months, before they're either sold off or butchered, I presume. They're maintained in a very small, concentrated area, very crowded conditions. Do they have the same disposal of waste operating here that they would over in the dairy next door? Would the emissions from the dairy be comparable to the emissions from this holding pen?
Very much so, Ron. The waste management and disposal practices
the same hygiene wouldn't be required for this operation. It would be for a dairy, would it?
No, Your Honor. I'm not. I don't believe I would agree.
In other words, the emissions from this type of operation are potentially much greater than they are for a dairy because they don't operate under the same standard, do they?
No, Your Honor. We would not agree with that. Emissions from manure are going to occur based on the volume of that manure. And in fact, there was testimony in the record that there
I know all dairies aren't alike, but I've been to some and I've seen the provisions for waste, including troughs, a virtual constant scrubbing operation, and the removal and disposal of waste material. The same thing exists with these calves. In other words, they're not going to give. It's not going to be the same concentration of odor because it's not allowed to hang around in a dairy situation. Here, do you have something similar to the disposal of waste? Do you have a scrubbing operation that's allowed to accumulate?
Well, let me respond this way. No, Your Honor, it does not accumulate in reality. And in that respect, virtually every livestock operation could be different depending on how frequently as a matter of management, they choose to scrape the pens, for example, and remove the material. And we would point out that neither Europac nor Sampas Livestock attempted to draw these fine distinctions between one kind of livestock operation and another. And we would submit that they focused on the issue essentially as one associated with the production of manure. There is an emphasis on the relative size of the operation in relation to the area involved. And that focuses on the production of manure. And neither of those cases really give any guidance with respect to the specific management practices. As I suggested a moment ago, it is true that for all these operations, those practices are regulated to one degree or another by the Texas Water Commission, but even under those programs, the specific practices will vary from one operation to another.
If Erath County were not one of the top dairy-producing counties in the country and there weren't dairy farms and around F&R, would F&R be subject to the Air Act?
Your Honor, I certainly would not concede that. I would suggest that under the Europac and Southwest Livestock Test, it depends on the character of the location in which they are situated. If that were different, then a different analysis as accomplished at the district court would have to be performed. But there are an infinite variety of possible situations that we could imagine. And each one would need to be dealt with based on its facts. So I would not concede, certainly, that any other location would necessarily result in us being subject to the Act. I think my point is, we believe that our facts are about as strong as could be found under the existing test, and therefore that the operation should clearly fall within that test and be excluded.
If you decide to go into the rendering business and have decaying carcasses piling up there, will that be also exempt from the Act?
No, Your Honor, my personal thought with respect to that is that that would not satisfy the first portion of the test because of the mechanical operations associated with the activity and with directly associated with the activity. The cooking, Texas Pet Foods, is an excellent example. I don't think there was any issue in the Texas Pet Foods case, litigated up and down the course of this state, including twice in this court. The issue of natural processes never came up. And I would suggest that there's a good reason why. That really doesn't satisfy the first test, let alone the second test, in most practical circumstances. Let me move briefly to the second issue that we think is important and has been suggested by some of the questions we've dealt with this morning. In our judgment, we think that the Attorney General's Office has effectively agreed with our position that the court's holding in this case effectively changes the state of the law. We note that the Attorney General states at page 6 of their response to our application that the petitioner's operation is subject to the Texas Clean Air Act, notwithstanding the presence of like facilities in the locality. It's a clear departure from the Europac test, as we were discussing a moment ago. It should also be pointed out that Southwest Livestock used a helpful term in characterizing that test when it referred to that portion of the test as geographic or locational normality. We would urge this court not to change the law regarding this issue, and we do so for two reasons. First of all, this court has on at least three separate occasions held that legislative reenactment of the statute based on the Court of Appeals decisions, as we have in this case, has been held to fix the interpretation of that statute. In our brief, we cite to the Coastal Industrial Water Authority case decided by this court, but in addition, we would refer the court to the cases of Rail against Morris at 95 Southwest 2nd 738 and Connolly versus the City of Waco, 53 Southwest 2nd 313. Both of those cases held to the same effect as this court in Coastal Industrial Water, and this court proved those holdings outright by refusing the writ of error.
Mr. Turney, let me ask a question. The state takes issue with your emphasis on what else is done in the community by claiming that if we accepted your understanding of this, you could take refineries, and just because there's a dozen refineries there, it wouldn't meet the definition that you're trying to be subjected to your, or put on your feedlot, because it's usual and customary in the place, even though fumes admittedly are noxious. And how do you respond to that? Just because it's usual and customary, you're trying to say, well, you can't do this because there's other people that produce these fumes, so you can't.
Your Honor, that's a real frustration. That's a flagrant misrepresentation of what the EuroPAC test provides for. The EuroPAC court specifically pointed out that that very concern is the reason you cannot have a single pronged or a single portion of a test that is either inherently natural or natural based on experience. In fact, the conditions that you suggest could never be argued to be exempt under this exclusion because they don't satisfy the first portion of the test, that is, do they occur in nature? The first portion of the test effectively brings all industrial emissions within the purview of the statute and subjection to regulation, in the same sense as the Federal Clean Air Act and so forth.
So you're saying the only time you reach the question of like processes out there is when the odor itself is generated naturally and whatever affects it by human conduct is simply you just gather up more and more of these things that produce this odor, and if that's what other people do in the community, then you're okay.
That's essentially right. The first part of the test could be articulated is it inherently natural? If it is inherently natural as odor from manure, then that's the first portion of the test. The next portion of the test, then, is it affected or controlled, consolidated, confined, if you will, to an extent that is normal and usual in the area.
Couldn't the Court of Appeals opinion be read to say that putting 6,000 cattle together in, I don't know, 150 feet worth of space is just inherently unnatural, so that they don't reach the second question? They're saying the action here is not a natural action that's occurring. It's just inherently unnatural.
Your Honor, that's, I think, precisely what the court did and relied improperly on the Smith against Padgett case to develop that proposition. But that's precisely what the court did. The court looked at those essential facts, recapitulated in this opinion, and said this is inherently unnatural.
All right. Thank you. Sorry to take the court's time.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear argument from the respondent.
May it please the court. Mr. Ken Cross will present argument for respondent.
May it please the court, I'm Ken Cross. Presenting argument with me is Mr. Greg Cook, the Chief of the Environmental Protection Division of the Attorney General's Office. The dispute in this case is not about the facts. Rather, it's about the legal standard against which to measure the facts. At issue is what the legislature meant and meant to include in its term air contaminant, defined in the Texas Clean Air Act, and more precisely, the scope of the natural processes exemption or phrase that's highlighted here on the exhibit from that definition.
Counsel, have you done a study as to legislative intent to see what perhaps they had in mind when they put this phrase in there, produced by a process other than natural?
Yes, Your Honor, and it's been unproductive. We've not found any legislative history to speak of that bears on it.
The statute was passed in 69?
I believe 69, at least the 60s.
60s.
And unfortunately, legislative history was not kept at that time to the extent it is today. The state submits that the sole consideration in determining whether an air contaminant from a process is produced by processes other than natural is the element or the aspect of human involvement, and that's it. FR, on the other hand, and to a limited and lesser extent, the Court of Appeals below allows the consideration of an add-on factor, this locational normality test, and the state submits that this is error. And to the extent that the location test, locational normality add-on, is a factor, we ask this court to overrule the Europac case, the Southwest Livestock case, and even the Court of Appeals below.
What's unreasonable about the Europac case? What's unreasonable about those kinds of analyses of feedlot operations?
Because, Your Honor, ultimately what it means is that we depart from the legislative purpose of the Texas Clean Air Act. The purpose, as stated in the policy and purpose provision of the Clean Air Act, is to preserve the air resources of this state and the air quality by controlling air pollution. And air pollution is defined in part as the interference with the normal use and enjoyment of property.
As it affects the health of the citizens of Texas?
Not just the health, Your Honor, the health and welfare and the use and enjoyment of property. We take issue with...
Are we sliding into a nuisance now as a remedy?
Well, indeed, by its express terms, the Clean Air Act overlaps with common law nuisance considerations in terms of the protection that it affords citizens. It's not just a health measure, it's also a health, welfare, property, enjoyment measure. By the express terms of the statute, we cite and quote those provisions in both our Court of Appeals brief and the brief to this court.
If you can see that, well, you're saying that, I'm sorry, I'm still phrasing my question. If you don't have a Europac type two-prong test dealing with odors that occur naturally, and that's really what they're talking about, it seems to me. If you've got animals that smell, then you can't simply say, because I've got an animal that smells, I'm subject to the Clean Air Act. Because obviously, any homeowner that has a pet that produces that the next door neighbor's child is allergic to the smell of the pet would bring them under the Clean Air Act. So there has to be some reasonable application of it for odors that occur in nature. Or do you say that can't be the case? I mean, if we take your position, do we not, in fact, cover any circumstance where some odor that occurs in nature is brought into the neighborhood by some human being would be subjected to Clean Air Act?
That's exactly our position, Your Honor, because we think that is the intent of the legislature under the Clean Air Act. It is a broad jurisdiction. This is not to say the Air Board is going to require you to get a permit for your pet. In fact, if FR had maintained less than 1,000 head of calves at its facilities, it would not need a permit from the Air Board. It's a very practical, pragmatic jurisdiction. And that's not to say the Air Board is going to have your pet's odors on a high priority on its enforcement list. But if, in fact, your pet, your calf, your single horse pen, and your single horse in that pen is indeed causing a condition of air pollution as defined in the statute, the legislature intended for the board to have the authority, the power to address it. The relativity of the location should go to the exercise of that jurisdiction, how it should be used, rather than to whether there's power in the first instance to use it.
To accept your position, then, we would be defining produced by processes other than natural as being simply a human being bringing in this odor.
Exactly.
That would be a process that's not natural.
And that's, in effect, the first prong. We take issue with the way that counsel for FR has characterized this allegedly two-prong test. Many types of air contaminants may occur in nature apart from human intervention, such as the smoke from a grass fire started by lightning, or the methane and sulfides from swamp gas on a natural wetland on your property, or the radioactive material from natural rock outcroppings on your property. But if there is human involvement in aggravating, in compounding, in releasing those contaminants, we believe the legislature intended for the board to have authority to cause human management practices, human technology to be employed to control those.
If you keep pet skunks, then you may have trouble with your neighbors and with the air control board.
Pardon, Your Honor?
See, if you're going to keep the pet skunk, you might have trouble with your neighbors as well as the air control.
In an extreme situation, that may be true, Your Honor. And if the Air Board has the political temerity to try to address that pet skunk situation, so be it. But that does not depart from what we believe was the legislative intent under the Clean Air Act. And I believe, Justice Zeman, perhaps you were the one that asked counsel about the untoward results that come from having this location element as a factor in the test. It does allow the creation of pollution enclaves, if you will, where sources of air contaminants may congregate in an area and thereby define themselves out of the jurisdiction of the Clean Air Act. This is, in fact, what has happened in Erath County if the trial court's ruling holds sway. Because if the FR facility is exempt from the Clean Air Act, so are those dairies with which it is being compared. This will come as a surprise to the Air Board's permit engineer who testified that they had been working with the dairy industry under the Clean Air Act to impose management practices to reduce odor emissions. This will come as a surprise to even FR's own expert agricultural engineer who testified at the trial court below that part of his expertise was gained and experience was gained in working with his clients, the dairies, in meeting the regulatory requirements under both clean air and clean water.
You're saying it wouldn't, no matter how any of these items, dust, fumes, gas, mist, smoke, vapor, or odor are produced, no matter how natural their source, that when you have human intervention to concentrate any or all of these things in an unnatural manner, that it's not a natural process.
Exactly, Your Honor.
And so the board does claim jurisdiction over every animal farming operation.
If those animals are congregated by the act of man, yes.
They don't just wander up there usually unless you're...
Exactly. And that's our point,
Your Honor. Unless feed where there isn't any else. So from this is a very agricultural study still. And to be quite clear, the test that you're arguing for would subject all of those operations to the Clean Air Act.
Exactly, Your Honor. And again, we said that does not necessarily mean a permit is required of all of those facilities.
But you all would decide.
Exactly.
They would be subject to your jurisdiction, but under the applicable regulations, up to 1,000 could be accumulated without requiring any kind of permit.
Right. Without the necessity of requiring an individual permit for that facility, you could have up to 1,000 head of cattle. And for example, poultry operations, the same standard exemption that applies to FR also has other subdivisions that apply to poultry operations. And location is figured in into this standard exemption. For example, I believe the subdivision D, and this is plaintiff's exhibit number one in the statement of fact, caged poultry operations that have less than 20,000 birds and use a dry manure system are required to locate at least a quarter mile from the nearest residence or nearest recreational facility. So location can be figured into the proper way to regulate and manage this jurisdiction, but it should not be used as a touchstone on the initial inquiry of whether jurisdiction should exist.
Does the Air Control Board permit some feedlot operations that involve more than 1,000 head livestock?
As a factual matter, I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor. I would assume so, because the 1,000 head is the cutoff on the standard exemption for requiring a permit.
But if you have 10,000 head on open range in West Texas, where are you?
Well, Your Honor, I don't know if we have an odor problem with that. When you say open range, are they fenced? Are they congregated in an area?
Not really. We still have some areas where, for practical purposes, they're not fenced. We have virtual open range.
Then to the extent that this is a confined feeding operation within the definition, within the tent of the standard exemption, a confined feeding operation of more than 1,000 head of cattle, which
and
really means a feedlot.
You've got them on open range, that's more or less natural. It's not an unnatural concentration.
Well then, Your Honor,
10,000 head of cattle on 50,000 acres of land, not too bad.
Then you may be getting actually into a fact issue under the sole consideration, the sole element of the test, is human intervention involved in this process that's creating the air contaminants. but you will never, in the state's view, under the proper statutory interpretation, get into a fact issue about the relative location and locational normality because it's immaterial.
And that was a factor considered in both Europac and Southwest Livestock.
Yes, indeed, Your Honor.
And you think those courts of appeals were in error in
yes, we
that
do.
Consideration?
Yes, we do. And we ask the court, to the extent that a location test, locational normality, is required or even allowed in the determination of natural processes, it is a mistake of law and should be straightened out by this court.
It should be. It is a regulation factor, but not a jurisdictional factor.
That's right. It's a factor that can be incorporated by the Air Board in the exercise of its jurisdiction. And what kind of permit requirements it does require on FR?
If you've got 10,000 head of cattle on 50 or 100,000 acres of land out in West Texas range where the buffalo roam, it's a fairly natural process. Nobody's disturbed by it. Nobody's bothered by it. And nature takes care of waste disposal. If you've got 1,600 or 2,000 calves concentrated in a feedlot operation, another situation entirely.
Yes, Your Honor. We believe counsel for FR was a bit evasive when the question was posed about, well, then under your rationale, counsel, isn't it true that if FR were the first facility in Erath County, first livestock confinement, you would be regulated? The honest answer is yes. And that's the irony of FR's position. If it had been the first dairy, the first feedlot in Erath County, the first livestock confinement, there would have been jurisdiction. But because there are more sources of odor now in Erath County, as the sources of odors increase under FR's argument, the jurisdiction of the board decreases. And this, we submit, undermines and subverts the intended purpose of the Clean Air Act. And it shows up the logical fallacy of FR's argument. Because while you can have animal odors occurring in nature, apart from any human intervention, the state concedes that. Even the Europac court and the Southwest Livestock court said that it can't be ignored, the human element that was involved to congregate these animals and compound that odor-producing process. That's fine, and the state says that's as far as you need go. The problem with adding on this location consideration is this. It gives you a boomerang effect, an illogical boomerang effect. The human factor takes the process out of being natural, but when you factor in locational normality, it boomerangs you right back in to being natural. And we consider that as illogical, perverse, and absurd, especially in light of what the legislature intended in the Clean Air Act. FR tries to limit the loophole it argues for by saying, well, this phrase in the Clean Air Act only really applies to odors. It only applies to odors from livestock confinement, and it only applies to odors from livestock confinement in rural areas. Well, where is that written in the statute? Where is an exception of that surgical precision expressed in that definition? It isn't. The legislature could have carved that out with such specificity if it had wanted to, more so than by this oblique reference to processes other than natural.
How about the argument that's been made that Europac and the feedlot case has been out there for some time, and the legislature has chosen to leave it alone? So, in other words, to abide by the statutory construction given to the Act by these two courts of appeals, and that their failure to do anything about it is some indication that the legislature is perfectly, is not offended by that definition.
Your Honor, we understand why FR seeks refuge in the doctrine of legislative acquiescence, and as we argue in our briefing to this court and the court of appeals below, we feel that the doctrine has very little vigor in this situation. It depends, it's a presumption that is one indicator of legislative intent, and it's only its strongest when there is a well-settled judicial interpretation of a statute. We don't have that here. This court has not written on this language. The Europac case is a no-writ case that the state won. The Southwest Livestock is an NRE case that the state won. It's just as conceivable.
In both cases, the trial court had made fact findings with regards to the operation, which was affirmed by the Court of Appeals.
That's true, Your Honor.
This is exactly the opposite in this particular case. The fact findings made by the trial court here that the FR's calf operation is normal, usual, and natural in the area and locality where it is situated, and that any odor resulting from defendant's operation is odor produced from processes that occur in nature, those fact findings are under attack which differs from your package of a feedlot.
Yes, Your Honor, and of course we submit that those are the only disputed facts. The only disputed fact finding is in the record. The state submits those are immaterial facts because the location test is immaterial. It is not a proper part of the interpretation of this statutory phrase. Once you eliminate those two fact findings, which of course FR relies upon for its very existence in this case, its very life in this case, they are immaterial. The undisputed facts established as a matter of law the human element involved in bringing these animals together and compounding the processes that create these odors. Counsel for FR suggested before the trial court below that in urging its interpretation of the statute, that air pollution is really an urban kind of thing, an urban kind of issue. I believe those were counsel's words. Well, it's not just an urban kind of issue to the people like Pat and Tracy Wilson who live downwind from the FR facility and the state submits and whose use and enjoyment of their property has been ruined by this facility.
Some people call that the smell of money.
And indeed, in Erath County, I suspect that's the case where you have a statue of a dairy cow named Moolah on the courthouse square. But that does not speak to what the legislature intended by its definition in the Clean Air Act. The state submits that the jurisdiction of the board and the power of the board to address the concerns of Pat and Tracy Wilson and the other established residents that surrounded the FR facility does not stop at the city limits of Stephenville and does not turn on whether there's one FR or 100 FRs in Erath County. It's illogical, and this nonsense about relative location and locational normality should be stricken from any interpretation of this phrase in the statute. And thereby doing, we ask this court to affirm the judgment of the Court of Appeals below.
How is that?
And also the jurisdiction of the airport.
How can we affirm the judgment of the Court of Appeals since you disagree with Europac and Sabbath Feedlot, which is the very cases that the Court of Appeals relied on, which you disagree, and you're asking us to disapprove of those cases?
Your Honor, we won. In the Court of Appeals, we got complete relief. That's why we were not in a legal capacity to complain to this court about the reasoning used by the Eastland Court below. We disagree with the reasoning of the Eastland Court, the Europac Court, and the Southwest Livestock Court because all three allow a consideration of location and normality. We disagree with the reasoning, but we don't disagree with the result. The result we got below was complete relief. We got remanded back to the trial court so we could get to trial on this case.
Do you know if the state took this position in Europac, or whichever one of those came to our court for review?
Well, Europac did not come.
Okay,
there was a no writ case.
Whichever one was the NRE case.
I do know that it's been the state's consistent position that livestock operations, confined feeding operations of livestock, have been subject to the Clean Air Act. In fact, counsel for FR used to be counsel for the Air Board, and he knows that. He was involved in the Southwest Livestock case. It has been the consistent position of the state through its administrative agency, the Air Control Board, that the Clean Air Act does cover confined livestock operations. And it's the position of the state agency now that the location test is immaterial to a determination of whether an air contaminant is produced by processes other than natural.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. To begin with, Justice Gamage, I would suggest that your pastured cattle under the state's position are in violation, and that for some substantial period of time you're subject to fines of $10,000 a day for the fact that you don't have a permit for those animals.
He might differ with you as closing words were that the Clean Air Act does apply to confined livestock operations.
Well, Your Honor, and he also said that the issue of whether or not it's regulated is determined by whether or not there's human intervention. If there's human intervention, then it's regulated. If it's regulated and it's above 1,000 head under the statute, I see no basis for saying that a permit is not required. And it's difficult for me to accept the premise that fenced-in animals, and it makes not a lot of difference whether you're talking about fenced-in a substantial pasture or fenced-in into a confined area such as a feedlot. They're still certainly fenced-in. They're certainly, the fence is human intervention. In fact, it's difficult to say that any domestic livestock, by definition, will always be included. Because if it's domestic livestock, by definition, you have human intervention. So I would suggest, and I do not think that that is what the state would have intended.
What about his argument that your argument is that so long as it is produced by processes in nature, manure is natural for all fauna. Production of it is natural. So long as it's natural, according to your argument, is couched by the other side, then the Air Board has no authority. What he's saying is that with even natural processes allowed to be performed naturally, allowed to be produced, to produce naturally in an open and free environment occur, that's one thing. But when those processes are unnaturally confined to create a situation that is environmentally unpleasant or perhaps even hazardous, the air applies to that regardless of the location. Is that indeed your argument, that as long as cows produce manure, the Air Board has no authority to intervene?
No, Your Honor, that is not our argument at this point in light of the EuroPac and Southwest Livestock Test. Let me, in response to another question, indicate that this language was enacted in the statute in 1965 with the initial enactment of the Texas Clean Air Act, at which time the Air Control Board was a bureau, if you will, of the Department of Health. I think it would be our position that it is very difficult to believe that in 1965 the legislature thought in enacting that statute and in first establishing the Air Control Board as a bureau of the Health Department, that they were regulating so far as people's pets, if necessary, with respect to odor. We think that is simply a preposterous exclusion. The suggestion made by a lot of the discussion today is that perhaps things have changed to a great extent since 1965. If they have, it is certainly the legislature's prerogative to readdress that issue. Indeed, it's their responsibility to address that issue. What we are saying is that in 1965, if we're writing on a clean slate, we think that it's much more likely the intent of the legislature was not to regulate domestic livestock at all. And as we indicated in our initial application filed with this court, that view is not unique to us. Widely distributed national environmental law treatise, in its brief consideration of that very issue, indicates that the construction of the statute is such that livestock odors, regardless of the circumstances, are unregulated by the statute. And so if we're writing on a clean slate, considering the date of enactment of the statute and the date of enactment of this language, we would strongly suggest that is the most logical interpretation to follow. And if there are concerns about that interpretation, they're certainly open to being addressed by the legislature. However, it is not our position that that is what the law is today. We would suggest that the compromise, if you will, established by the EuroPac test and adopted in the Southwest Livestock and Trucking case is the operative law, and that law should be retained until such time, if any, as the legislature does determine that the issue needs to be readdressed.
Any other questions? Thanks, Ken. That concludes the argument in the third cause. The foregoing causes are submitted on briefs and oral arguments, and the marshal will now please adjourn the court.
The audience, please rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The Honorable Supreme Court of Texas now stands adjourned, subject to call.